18,000 degrees, because we're going to sweat it up now. So we'll be reading from, I'll be reading and preaching from Joshua chapter 9. This is a long chapter, so you may stay seated. So Joshua chapter 9. And I'll begin in verse 3. I'll come back to verses 1 and 2 next week. But when the inhabitants of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done to Jericho and Ai, they, on their part, acted with cunning and went and made ready provisions and took worn-out sacks for their donkeys and wineskins, worn out and torn and mended, with worn-out patched sandals on their feet and worn-out clothes. And all their provisions were dry and crumbly. And they went to Joshua in the camp at Gilgal and said to him and to the men of Israel, "We have come from a distant country. So now make a covenant with us." But the men of Israel said to the Hivites, "Perhaps you live among us. Then how can we make a covenant with you?" They said to Joshua, "We are your servants." And Joshua said to them, "Who are you? And where do you come from?" They said to him, "From a very distant country your servants have come, because of the name of the Lord your God. For we have heard a report of him and all that he did in Egypt, and all that he did to the two kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, to Sihon the king of Heshbon, and to Og the king of Bashan, who lived in Ashtaroth. So our elders and all the inhabitants of our country said to us, 'Take provisions in your hand for the journey and go meet them and say to them, we are your servants. Come now, make a covenant with us. Here is our bread. It was still warm when we took it from our home, from our houses, as our food for the journey on the day we set out to come to you. But now, behold, it is dry and crumbly. These wineskins were new when we filled them, and behold, they have burst. And these garments and sandals of ours are worn out from the very long journey.' So the men took some of their provisions, but did not ask counsel from the Lord. And Joshua made peace with them and made a covenant with them to let them live. And the leaders of the congregation swore to them. At the end of 3 days, after they had made a covenant with them, they heard that they were their neighbors and that they lived among them. And the people of Israel set out and reached their cities on the third day. Now their cities were Gibeon, Chephirah, Beeroth, and Kiriath-Jearim. But the people of Israel did not attack them, because the elders of the congregation had sworn to them by the Lord, the God of Israel. Then all the congregation murmured against the leaders. But all the leaders said to the congregation, "We have sworn to them by the Lord, the God of Israel, and now we may not touch them. This we will do to them. Let them live, lest wrath be upon us, because of the oath that we swore to them." And the leader said to them, "Let them live." So they became cutters of wood and drawers of water for all the congregation, just as the leaders had said to them. Joshua summoned them, and he said to them, "Why did you deceive us, saying, 'We are very far from you,' when you dwell among us? Now therefore you are cursed. And some of you shall never be anything but servants, cutters of wood, and drawers of water for the house of my God." They answered Joshua, "Because it was told to your servants for a certainty that the Lord your God had committed his servant Moses to give you all the land and to destroy all the inhabitants of the land from before you. So we feared greatly for our lives because of you, and did this thing. And now, behold, we are in your hand. Whatever seems good and right in your sight to do to us, do it." So he did this to them and delivered them out of the hand of the people of Israel, and they did not kill them. But Joshua made them that day cutters of wood and drawers of water for the congregation and the altar of the Lord to this day in the place that he should choose. You know, in reading this passage, we can readily see that the issue laid before us is one's lack of the wisdom of God. Israel did not need just common sense in this situation. They needed wisdom beyond what they were capable of. What was going on? These people were deceiving them. The world was deceiving them. And yet they did not inquire of the Lord. Verse 14. The men did not inquire of the Lord. And thus, they found themselves in difficulty. They should have consulted the Lord through Eleazar the priest. Let him talk to the Lord. But they didn't do that. And Israel needed wisdom. And Israel neglected it. Now, the Bible has a great deal to say about the divine gift of wisdom, doesn't it? The first 9 chapters of the book of Proverbs are a single, sustained exhortation to seek this gift. I quote, this is Proverbs 4, "Wisdom is supreme, therefore get wisdom. Though it cost all you have, get understanding. Hold on to instruction. Do not let it go. Guard it well, for it is your life." So wisdom is personified and made to speak her own case. This is Proverbs chapter 8. "Blessed," happy, "is the man who listens to me," says wisdom, "watching daily at my doors, waiting at my doorway, for whoever finds me finds life and receives favor from the Lord. But whoever fails to find me harms himself, and all who hate me love death." So on their own, Israel's leaders could not discern the deception and the lies of the world. That's the point of what we're being told today. They did not consult the Lord. The Gibeonites offer a realistic report, verses 9 and 10. Israel's leaders hear this. And what moved them, they say, the Gibeonites, what moved them was hearing what God did in Egypt and how he had wiped out 2 very powerful kings on the east side of Jordan. Look what God did. We'd heard about this. Now notice that the Gibeonites did not mention what happened at Jericho, or more recently, Ai, their neighbors. They are craftily deceiving the people of God by not mentioning those things. You remember God said, these people's wickedness has arisen so much that they need to be wiped out. God's justice has been stirred. Do not leave any of them. Oh, what happened? What happened? No, these people appear to be from a very distant land. And perhaps the most deceptive of all was the spiritual testimony they offered. It was the reputation of their God. A reputation of Yahweh earned in his mighty acts that drew them to come, so they say. And so Israel listens and says, "Wow. Wow, these evil people. Wow. It appears that these folks are singing our hymns. They got a Trinity hymnal, recognizing who God really is. It appears that they have some type of faith. But it's really just flattery that is pious, spiritual sentimentalism. It's sappy. Israel on their own, Israel's leaders could not discern deception in the lives of the world. So Israel's leaders think that they have everything under control. There's a cocky independence that leads them into trouble. The people of God are being lied to, and they are unable to discern what they should do and how they should act without the wisdom of God. Now, we need to remember that we are people submerged in a culture of lies and malice. Submerged. It's where we exist. We often feel that we can trust nothing we hear and depend on no one we meet. But this can be the first step towards gaining the wisdom of God. A person has to be thoroughly disgusted with the way things are to find the motivation to seek wisdom outside of himself. A person has to get fed up with the ways of the world before she acquires an appetite for the wisdom and counsel of God. They have to figure out after a while, this is not working well. My life is falling apart. Why? This world lies to us that everything's going to be okay. Christian consciousness begins in the painful realization that we had assumed was truth. What we had assumed was truth is a lie. The first step towards obtaining the wisdom of God is a step away from the lies of the world, from the values of the world, from the worldview of this world, from the thinking of this world. It is a renunciation of lies we have been told about ourselves, about our neighbors, about who God is, about how the world works, about our universe. The usual biblical word describing the no we say to the world's lies and the yes we say to God's truth is the word repentance. You know what Jesus said about his ministry? I have come to preach repentance in the kingdom of God. It is always and everywhere the first word in the Christian life, repentance. It is not just emotion. There's emotions in it sometimes. It's not an emotion. It is not a feeling of just feeling sorry for your sins because you've been caught in them. It's a decision. It is deciding that you have been wrong in supposing that you could manage your own life and be your own God. Call the shots come what may. It is deciding that you were wrong in your thinking, in the thinking that you had, or you could get this wisdom and strength and education and training and make life work on your own. It is deciding that you have been told a pack of lies about yourself, about your neighbor, about your world, about God, about Jesus Christ. It is deciding that God and Jesus Christ is telling you truth. That's repentance. It's a turning away from how we once lived, what we once believed, and then walking the other way in following Christ. It is a way out of deceitful and violent ways to the path of peace and truth. It is the discovery that there is always a way that leads out of distress. A way that begins in turning back to God and His truth. It is a no to this world's lies and a yes to God's truth that shows itself in our behavior. So the point of the text, Where can we find wisdom? Israel didn't have it. Israel got put in a situation that was incredibly difficult for them. What steps must a person take to lay hold of this gift? Now, there are two prerequisites according to Scripture. Number one, we must learn to reverence God. We must learn to reverence God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's where it starts. Proverbs 9, Job 28. And not till we have become humble and teachable, standing in awe of God's holiness and power and sovereignty, acknowledging our own littleness, distrusting our own thoughts, and willing to have our minds turned upside down, can wisdom be ours. We must learn to reverence God. That's what the scriptures say. Secondly, we must learn to receive God's word. You hear it every Sunday. You hear the voice of God through this little preacher's mouth, but we need to learn to receive it. Wisdom, using the best means for the best ends, is divinely wrought in those and those only who apply themselves to God's revelation. Not in the wind, not in the trees, not in the whales, not in politics necessarily, but in the Word and what He has revealed. Your commands, says the psalmist, make me wiser than my enemies. I have more insight than all my teachers, says Psalm 119. Why? For I meditate on your statutes. So, you know, Paul admonishes the New Testament readers by saying, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly with all wisdom. You see what the word does? You see what it does to you? So how are we in the 21st century to do this? By soaking ourselves in the scriptures, which Paul told Timothy are able to make you wise through faith in Christ and to make us thoroughly equipped for every good work. What an amazing passage. Thoroughly equipped for every good work. They're able to make you wise. Now, it is to be feared that many today who profess Christ never learn wisdom. They profess Christ, but they're not wise people through a failure to attend sufficiently to God's written word, even to God's preached word if it is accurate. I wonder how long it's been since you read your Bible, since I read my Bible, not just to prepare something for you so I can keep my job. When did I last hear God's voice speaking to me through the book that is in your hand? We spend more time on Facebook than we do in our Bibles. What fools some of us are, and may remain fools all of our lives simply because we will not take the trouble to do what has to be done to receive the wisdom of God, which is His free gift. So as the word of the Lord says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice, especially advice from God. Now, it is interesting to me how this text ends, isn't it? Because the Israelites were men of their word, they could not lie and go back on their oath that they promised these deceptive Gibeonites. They knew that breaking covenant was a serious thing. They'd given their word. And so, what now? Now what? Now they have to live with the consequences of their foolishness of not consulting the wisdom of God. Pastor, what do I do now since I've made these mistakes in the past and they're catching up with me? What do I do now? It is so hard. It is so difficult. I'm sad. What do I do now? And what does the text basically say? You live faithful tomorrow and the next day. You live in faithfulness to God. We need to heed the wisdom of God and not just hear it, because it brings life and blessing and joy even amidst our sorrow. You know, Paul, in writing to the Colossians, said, I want you to know how much I am struggling for you. My purpose is that you would be encouraged in heart and then united in love, so that we may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that we may know Christ, listen to this, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom. In Christ. In Christ and with Christ, you will find wisdom. And apart from him, you won't. And you'll die. Now, I want you to notice, like I said before, how the text ends. Let me read this again, verse 26 and 27. So he did this to them and delivered them out of the hand of the people of Israel, and they did not kill them. But Joshua made them that day cutters of wood and drawers of water for the congregation and for the altar of the Lord to this day in the place that he should choose. Now, although the Gibeonites should have died, they were spared. And perhaps, just perhaps, because they were always, always, always around the sanctuary and the sacrifices, they could catch a glimpse of the wisdom of God. Day in, day out. Why all that blood? What are you people doing? What do you believe? What is that tabernacle thing? What's going on with this? What did they say? They saw. They saw the wisdom of God, for the sacrifices pointed to the wisdom of God for one's redemption and deliverance from following what is right in one's own eyes. Perhaps they got it. Pagans as they were, perhaps we get it. So find Christ. Pursue Christ. Learn from Christ and enjoy Christ. For in him, and in him alone, are all the hidden treasures of wisdom. Amen.